Dear students, I am A.K. Mishra, Senior Assistant Professor at Institute of Fire and Safety Engineering, Nagpur. We will talk about industrial safety management. Industrial safety management is the third book in diploma program in fire safety engineering management. Subject of this book is classified under core technology of industrial safety, intends to teach students basic concepts, facts, principle and procedure for adopting safety habits and making safe job practices in an industry. Also to teach students about the importance and advantages of safety aspect, which will helpful in working with industrial organization or premises. There are 7 units in this book. Topic covered in these books are greatly essential for the students of diploma in fire safety engineering management. Before we proceed, some of the definitions are essential to know to the students. What is safety? Safety means freedom from unacceptable risk of harm. Safety is derived from the Latin word salvus, meaning uninjured and healthy. It is defined as the state of being safe, that is unhurt, uninjured, having escaped from real or apprehended danger. What is accident? Accident is undesired event given rise to death, ill health, injury, damage or other loss. What is incident? Event that give rise to an accident or have the potential to lead an accident. The term incident includes near misses. What is hazards? Source or situation with a potential for harm in terms of injury, damage to property, damage to workplace, environment, or combination of these. Risk, combination of the likelihood and consequence of a specific hazard event occurring. What is the cause of accident in the industry? There are so many causes. Important of them are: first, faulty machine design, lack of equipment or faulty design leading to a sequence of unexpected event which finally result in an accident. The working conditions can influence us indirectly, thereby causing accidents. Such factors include disorder at the workplace, noise, temperatures, ventilation, lighting. Next is your own performance can increase the risk of having an accident. Consequently, all work should be planned from the point of view of the worker. The employer has the primary responsibility for the planning and layout of the workplace. Next is job experience. It is the first stage of a new job or a new procedure that are usually most critical. The same applies when a person changes job. Information and instruction on working methods and risks involved. Next is age. Older people are more easily injured, that is, when falling. In general, eyesight and hearing decline with age. These are just a few of the factors which can contribute to causing industrial accidents. What are the fundamentals of safety? The safety management is based on the following philosophy of safety. First, hazard is an inherent part of human existence. However, they are preventable at the first place. Second, the best way to ensure prevention is to integrate safety requirement at planning stage. Third, accidents do not just happen, they are caused. 88% of the accidents are caused by direct human failure due to unsafe acts. 10% are caused by unsafe conditions, again caused by human failure, and only 2% are caused due to natural causes. Fourth, a trained and alert worker is safer in an unsafe conditions. Next, everybody is the safety officers. An untrained and unalert worker is unsafe in safe conditions. Incident monitoring rather than accident monitoring to prevent accident. It is essential to prevent incident. Before we proceed, we have to know what is unsafe acts. Unsafe acts are operating equipment without authority, failure to serve himself at safe position, operating at improper speed, operating without safety devices, guards, PPEs, improper loading, positioning during storing or transferring of material, improper tools, equipments and operations, under the influence of alcohol or other drugs, removing machine guards, working under hanging load, leaving materials here and there, improper use of PPEs, taking rest near prohibited area, walking freehand at height, sleeping, sitting near open terrace, near the edge of the roof or gas line, violation of standard practices, and last, shortcut, that is seeking short route of doing the job. These are unsafe acts. Next is, what is unsafe conditions? Unsafe conditions are to use defective tools, equipments, radiation exposure without protective sheets, temperature extremes, inadequate or excess illumination, inadequate ventilation, inadequate warning system, overcrowded workplace, poor housekeeping, machine without guards, working plate from without hand railings, staircase without hand railings, open switch boxes, damaged welding cables, power operated hand tools, without earthing, work near swinging area of crane, pail loader, excavators. These are unsafe conditions. As you know, accidents occur due to unsafe acts and unsafe conditions. What are the preventive measures? You can apply 5 E's concept to prevent accidents. First is engineering control. Second is education. Third is enforcement. Fourth is enthusiasm. And fifth is evaluation. Engineering control. Project is the apt time for planning safety, while management has the obligation to make work environment safer by using all latest techniques. Government agencies should exercise more control in the project itself. Also, updated technology should be given preference over updated one if these are costlier. In granting industrial license, a special emphasis should be given to safety and anti-pollution measure. Highest level of safety could be achieved through engineering controls only. Education. Research in India and abroad has led to the conclusion that over 98% of accidents are due to human failure. If adequate steps are taken to overcome human failure by proper education, then accident prevention will be a reality. The most important steps of education for safety consists of job training, dissemination of knowledge of hazards and their controls, procedure for repair and maintenance work, permit system, fire prevention control and fighting equipment, use of PPEs, first aid measures. Next point is enforcement. When employees fail to observe safe practices which they have been taught through educational part of their training program, it becomes necessary to enforce them. In some instances, drastic measures or penalties may become necessary to prevent the spread of unsafe practices. Enforcing safety discipline to one and all is vital for the healthy growth of the nation. Safety enforcement can be better done in industry by including safety codes in standing orders. Anything enforced in is resulted at one set. Let the workers frame the rules and manager follow. Finally, the government has to enforce the standard. Next point is enthusiasm. As human failures account for almost all accidents, it is possible to eliminate by suitable corrective method. Hersey report that product from industrial workers was 8% higher when they are happy. Maintaining the morale of the worker is the prime duty of the management. All kinds of motivational techniques like industrial safety awards, departmental safety contests, safety slogan, essay contest, spot the hazard contest goes a long way to motivate people. A safety suggestion program to identify hazardous location is worth complementing. Most important of all is the participation of worker in all the deliberation of safety. Government can appreciate good safety record by issuing medals, trophies and certificates. Evaluation. Continuous evaluation of programs, procedures and performance is a must for improvement in safety. Safety committee can work in this line. Job safety analysis and statistics also help in this direction. Quality of PPE is also evaluated. In the next chapter, we will discuss about the duties of safety supervisors. The duties of safety supervisor, irrespective of the skill or the understanding in which they are employed, are more or less the same. Their duties can be summarized as: he is responsible for supply of implements, raw materials, necessary facility to the workers under them. He can exercise their limited powers, command and skill and complete the task by the workmen. Third, interpret the policies of management to the workers and keep the management appraised of the aspiration, safety, welfare needs and problem of workers. He is answerable to the superiors for what they and their men execute. Thus, an establishment's progress is partly depend upon the effective role played by the supervisors. One of the important tasks assigned to them is safety of workers, raw materials and finished product, equipments and tools placed under their charge. He should first appear in a smart and clean dress and attend work punctually. He should have thorough knowledge of rules and regulation, both statutory and administrative, concerning their work. As soon as a new worker is posted in his section, he should be introduced to all workers and given a clear picture of potential danger involved in working in any area of machine and precautions which he should take. He should, reporting to work, visit the entire area under his control, have discussion with individual workmen on safety problem briefly, and take prompt action to remove the problems, if any. He should see whether all safety procedure of safety systems are being followed. Frequently, he should go around the work floor to see that the worker use the protective equipment given to them. He himself should set an example by wearing a protective equipment. He conduct a brief periodical meetings with representatives of workers on safety problems and take prompt action to remove the problem, but ensure that the productive hours are not lost in such meetings. He brings it to the notice of the management the statutory requirements of the safety. He should take some steps in case of accident such as remove the injured person from the accident spot and give him first aid and send him to the hospital if needed. If he is admitted in the hospital, inform the close relative of the injured person as quickly as possible. If the injured person is admitted in hospital, see him in hospital. He must be seen periodically at the hospital and necessary assistance is to be given. If any immediate attention is required to save any material or equipment from further danger or loss, immediate steps should be taken. Send the accident report to the department concerned. Investigate the cause of the accident and take remedial measures to prevent reoccurrence of such accidents. In case of death, all possible assistance is to be given to the family, such as processing and finalizing the compensation insurance and other claim. If worker becomes accident prone or meets with accident too often, investigate the reason and give necessary friendly advice to such worker to overcome this problem. Next chapter is role of common agency in accidents prevention. We will discuss about National Safety Council. The National Safety Council was set up on 4th March 1996. First National Safety Day was launched in 4th March 1972 and has since been organized every year. The chairman of the National Safety Council is nominated by Government of India. The main objective of the council is to generate, develop and sustain a voluntary movement at the national level to promote awareness of safety, health and environment so as to supplement and strengthen government efforts in the field. The aims are to eliminate human suffering, loss of production and damage to material and establishment. The activities of the council consists of screening films on safety, publication of industrial safety chronicle and monthly industrial safety news, printing and circulating safety posters, booklets and calendars, regularly conducting training programs on safety. The council also provides consultancy service to solve technical safety problems. The council maintains liaison with international agencies and similar organizations in various parts of the world, namely ILO, International Labor Organization, World Safety Council, USA and Australia, British Safety Council and National Fire Protection Association. This facilitates useful exchange of information on latest trends and development in the safety field. Next is Loss Prevention Association of India. This association is floated by the General Insurance Corporation of India and its subsidiaries. The main objectives are to publicize cause and magnitude of losses and create an awareness of the need for loss prevention. Second, to provide education and training. Third, to provide consultancy and advisory services. Fourth, to build and maintain data bank on loss prevention. Fifth, to provide risk management and services. LPA is a non-profit organization promoting safety through education, training and consultancy. It was set up in 1978. It was the outcome of a belief that all losses, whether insured property or otherwise, should be prevented, and to when losses do occur, their impact shall be minimized. LPA activities mainly concern losses due to fire, damages to cargo and road accidents. The association regularly brings out publication on various aspects of fire prevention. This association is doing consultancy and advisory services to the industries which in need of some which is in need. Next topic is BIS, Bureau of Indian Standard. The Bureau of Indian Standard play a vital role in standardization and controlling the quality of the personal protective equipment. The quality specification stipulated by Bureau of Indian Standard help in introducing safety aspects even at the production stage of these PPEs. Wherever necessary, the guidelines for using these equipments have been explained. Next topic is motivation for safety. As you know, safety program in any industry can give its desired results only when there is a cooperation, participative teamwork, interest and enthusiasm on the part of all employees. The techniques used for motivation of group of workers is conducting safety meetings such as toolbox meetings and demonstration. Second point is conducting safety contests. It is one of the oldest and most widely used tool for promoting safety contest. Rules should be clear, definite and fair to all contestants. The progress is the efforts made by non-winners in improving their own safety program. Third point is maintaining bulletin boards. Have one or more bulletin boards according to working area. It is important that it is maintained and receive the attention of employee with good lighting and easy accessibility for employee. Old material being kept removed when new one is added. Next point is exhibiting poster. It must attract the vision of workers, sense of humor added to this poster. This would be relevant to work practices on the floor and often they need change. Next point is displaying signs and slogans. They should be simple, definite in teaching, easy in meaning and remembering, eye-catching. Circulation of house journals. Most valuable if the safety articles like poems, quiz, novel ideas, cartoons are timely come in these journals. Publication of achievement with award winner photographs are very great boost of workers' morale. So, students, you have seen that these are the techniques to motivate a group of workers. There are so many factors which motivate individuals only. You can motivate the morale of the worker by exhibiting the injury damage, such as loss of arms, hand, eye, accidents, incidents reports, narrow escapes. Second point is, you can give personal gift to the workers, such as picnic trips, monetary awards for good safety records, application for safety activities. Third point is praise. The individual congratulate, exhibit the individual achievement with photo in bulletin boards, with awards, cup badges, etc. Distincting uniform or cap can be given to the worker. Promotion. Additional responsibility on safety work when he is promoted. So, this promotion can boost up the morale of the worker. Next chapter is emergency planning. Absolute safety is not achievable, and hence emergency planning is essential part of major hazard control program. It aims at controlling the emergency and generally mitigating the adverse effects of major accidents. Emergency planning is based on the following principles. Recognizing that accidents are possible. Second, assessment of possible consequences of the credible accidents. Third, preparation of both on-site and off-site emergency plan. Procedure to be implemented in the event of an emergency. Primary efforts of the management should be toward preventing accident by maintaining good safety standards. Objectives. The objectives of the emergency plan are to contain and control the accident, rescue and treatment of the casualty, safeguard people both at site and neighborhood, identify casualties, notify their relatives and render necessary help to them, rehabilitate the area affected, provide information to media and government agencies. Next is preserve records, equipment for subsequent inquiry. Ensure rapid return to normal operation after emergency. Emergency plans are of two types. First one is on-site emergency plan and second one is off-site emergency plan. On-site emergency plan. The hazard and risk of the plant brings out improvement to eliminate or reduce the hazard. The management should prepare an on-site plan based on residual risk. This plan must be specific to the needs of the plant, that is size, complexity, nature and quantum of hazard. Each on-site plan will therefore be different, but there are certain elements essential to every plant, and these are assessment of size and nature of events and probability of occurrence, assessment of resources available at site and with outside agencies. Third, procedure for raising alarm and communication within and outside works. Fourth, appoint of key personnel and defining their duties. Provision of emergency control centers. Next is actions required on-site and actions required at off-site. To be effective, a plan should be able to quickly initiate action inside and outside the plant. The element in each step of the plan is very important, and realistic estimates should be made while making the plan. Elements of an on-site plan. All personnel inside the works, outside emergency services and neighboring industries, all key personnel outside duty hours, nearby hospitals. These are the personnel who should be available at the time of emergency. Key personnel and responsibility. First is emergency coordinator. He takes full charge at the site of the incident and directs all the efforts at the site till the works main controller takes charge of the whole situation. He must be an experienced and knowledgeable persons. Second is rescue coordinator. He should take decision affecting the whole work and therefore choose from one of the senior managers. He has overall responsibility of directing emergency actions from the emergency control centers. Other key personnel and essential workers. A trained first aider, operator required to shut the plant safely, emergency engineering staff, public relations staff, roll call leaders, traffic controllers and running messengers. Emergency control center. It is a safe place where the rescue operation coordinates direct emergency actions. Following facilities must be provided in the emergency control center. A wireless set. Second, a nearby area location map. A detailed plan of the works showing hazardous area, location of safety equipment, layout of firefighting system, assembly points, possible escape routes, adequate supply of paper and pen, list of key personnel, list of trained first aiders, firefighters and other essential personnel, shift schedule of employees. Action at site. To control and contain the incident, it is necessary to take appropriate decision at site and act accordingly. Following aspects need to be considered for this purpose. Evacuation. In order to evacuate non-essential person, predetermined assembly point must be made in safe areas. A final decision on evacuation is taken depending upon type and location of the incident. Necessary safety communication system must be available at this point. Persons should be designed in plan to take roll call in assembly point to keep in touch with rescue operation controller to decide course of action and guide personnel at the point accordingly. Rehearsing emergency procedures. Emergency plans should be communicated to all personnel and they should be very clear about their role. It is necessary to test the plan by rehearsal. These mock drills bring out defects in plan and ensure that appropriate actions are taken in real life. Offsite emergency plan. A major emergency may affect area outside the work also, and hence off-site emergency plan is essential part of major hazard control system. In case of an off-site emergency, the emergency coordinator will report to the collector of the district, who is the chairman of the district emergency committee. The collector will initiate to district level action plan to combat emergency. What are the essentials of off-site emergency plan? A clear organizational structure giving detail of command structure, warning procedure and emergency control center. Second, an efficient communication system to alert the key personnel. Third, details of availability of specialized equipment like bulldozers, cranes, firefighting, breathing apparatus. Fourth, availability of people and organization with specialized knowledge to control a particular hazard and to provide useful information like weather conditions. Fifth is detail of organization like the fire services, police, hospitals, factory, inspectorate, voluntary organizations and emergency services of industry which can assist during emergency. Sixth point is plan of evacuation, safe routes, medical treatment and rehabilitation. Seventh is system to inform public and media. The most crucial aspects of site emergency plan is educating public and early warning system whereby people liable to be affected can take action as per plan. It is also very essential to be able to take decision regarding need to evacuate people, as this is a very big exercise requiring heavy resources mobilization, and it may more practical to opt for limited evacuation. Education and rehearsal. It is necessary to educate all concerned, including the public in the vicinity, about off-site plan and to rehearse it. Close cooperation of all agencies concerned is most essential for the formulation and effective implementation of the plan. Assembly point and escape routes. Assembly points and various locations shall be constructed, identified to accommodate workers safely during emergency. The shelter shall be so designated that all emergency route will lead to the point. The assembly point shall be provided with communication system. The shelter shall be considered instantly safe during emergency and hence shall be provided with locking arrangements to avoid entry of any toxic gases. The assembly point shall be marked with some identifiable mark like cross. Some directive boards shall also be provided at road junction for benefits of the people. Separate team may be formed as assembly point. The team will be comprised of personnel officers, security persons and persons who has knowledge of person on duties. The duties of assembly point teams are: on hearing emergency siren, the team will proceed to selected assembly point. Second, keep in touch with emergency coordinator. Third, take head count and evacuate personnel if directed to do so. The contract workers are also to be instructed to come to the assembly point by following the escape routes. Hello students, in this chapter we will discuss about the types of hazards generally found in the industry. First type of hazard, which is chemical hazard, arising from liquids, solids, dusts, fumes, vapor and gases. Second types of hazards, such as noise, vibration, unguarded machinery, unsatisfactory lighting, radiation, extreme temperature, hot or cold. Third is biological hazards. Biological hazards are caused by bacteria, viruses, infestations, infections, wastes. Next type of hazard are psychological hazard, resulting from stress and strain. Next type of hazard generally found in the industry is non-application of ergonomic principle, that is resulting in poorly designed machinery and tools or poorly designed work practices. Physical hazards such as noise can be controlled by enclosed cabin, segregation, ear muff, ear plug, sound absorbing material and rotation of the personnel. Lights can be controlled by proper lighting as per the requirement. Chemical hazards can be controlled by scheduled preventive maintenance, close supervisions, use of PPE, use of risk assessment. Mechanical hazards can be tackled by proper safety training and personal protective equipments and guards. Ergonomic hazards can be controlled by proper work method, safety operations, job safety analysis, proper layout and arrangement for proper working area in the pipeline area, housekeeping activities and training and proper instruction before inducting into the job. Biological hazard can be controlled by separate effluent treatment plant for process and canteen, septic tanks for toilets as per statutory requirement, environment audit and implementation of its recommendation. In this chapter, we will discuss what are the routes of entry of chemical in our body. The most common routes of entry are through the lungs, that is called inhalation. Second is through the skin, absorption. C, through the mouth, that is ingestion, inhalation. Although your body filters many of the normal pollutants from the air you breathe, it cannot eliminate every type of containment. Small particles are difficult for the body to eliminate and can get deep into lungs where they can cause respiratory problems. Chemical in their various form can be inhaled and damage various target organ as well as lungs. Next is absorption. Chemical can be absorbed directly into the body through healthy skin. Once they are in the body, chemicals can be absorbed into the blood streams and transported to target organ where they can have damaging effect. Strong acids such as sulfuric acid, strong alkalis such as caustic soda, all forms of mineral oils, diesel, fuel oils, petroleum products. Skin injuries are also result of extreme heat, electric furnace operations, cold, sunlight, light temperature and high humidity level. Ingestion happens when a hazardous agent is swallowed. Some ingested agents pass into the digestive system where they can be destroyed or neutralized by the acid in the stomach. However, some can be absorbed very quickly into bloodstream through the walls of the stomach and small intestines. Once in the bloodstream, they can travel to different target organs such as kidney and liver, where they can have damaging effect. Workers can swallow hazardous agent by accident if they do not wash their hands before eating, drinking or smoking, or if they keep their food, drink, cigarette in contaminated area. Eliminating hazardous chemical and biological agent is the best way to prevent ingestion. Other important method of prevention are personal hygiene and ensuring that workers have access to washing facilities, food storage and eating area that are away from their work area. It is also important that workers are educated about the importance of personal hygiene. Controlling hazards from the workplace. Eliminating hazards from the work environment is always the first choice for preventing diseases. When hazards cannot be eliminated, they should be controlled. Workers should press management to introduce effective control in workplace such as engineering control. For example, mechanical handling devices, so workers do not have to come into contact with chemicals. Second is administrative control, such as reducing number of hours to perform. Third is substituting safer chemicals or work process for particularly hazardous one, and by providing PPEs such as gloves. What are the steps to check absorption and ingestion hazard? First is, personal hygiene is an important factor in preventing both skin disease and ingestion of hazardous chemical and biological agent. Make sure workers do not eat, drink or smoke at their work areas. Second, washing facilities should be available for the workers. Third, proper food storage area should be provided for workers so that they do not store food in their work areas. Fourth, workers with clear place to eat away from their work areas. Fifth, if workers are provided with PPEs, then the equipment must be appropriate for the individual hazard in their job. Sixth, ask workers if they have had any vomiting and diarrhea. If so, try to determine whether the cause was ingestion of chemical or biological agent. Provide medical attention to the worker. Dear students, we have studies in this book the basic principle of accidents prevention, role of management in safety, role of supervisor, role of common agency in accident prevention, motivations for safety, emergency planning, and types of hazards. Thank you.